Well, it's my pleasure to introduce Kerry, our leader here at Slough River, and she's going to bring the word of God to us. Thank you, Kerry. She doesn't need any introduction, does she? Let's give her a big hand. Yes, let's welcome her. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Florence. I'll just get myself organised. Glad to see that some of us have come in hats anyway, and that I wasn't the only one. And it's proved to be quite handy because it's a little bit nippy. I don't want to draw attention to that, but it certainly is keeping me a little bit warmer this morning. So, okay. So, how is everybody? All right? Yeah. Thank you. I've always loved the Christmas story. Always. And I mean before I was even a Christian. And that's quite amazing, actually. You know, it touched something really deep in my heart. And I said I wasn't a believer. I said that I didn't believe. I was an atheist. I thought it was just a story that was really nice. But it is a story of hope, isn't it? It's a story of hope. And we all need hope. And I love the idea of a saviour coming to earth to rescue mankind. Because ultimately, God has put eternity in the hearts of every one of us. That is there. You know, it's built in. It's part of who we are. So even those that say, you know, I don't believe, it's there. You know, and it was there and it was in me. And every time I heard the Christmas story, you know, it tapped into something deep in my heart. And I just want to say thanks for the worship this morning. And Paul, I loved the way that you just helped us and encouraged us to use our senses, you know, and our imagination. Because sometimes imagination gets a bad press in, you know, in Christian faith. You know, we're not to go down that road too much. And yet we need it. We need it to unpack and unfold. And, you know, it just really helped us this morning to just kind of see things differently and rather than just reading words, you know, and start putting pictures to it and sensations and it starts to come alive because it is alive because God's word is living and active. So we've been looking at, I think, Matthew, haven't we, this morning, and we've looked at Luke and but I'm going to go back a bit. I'm going to track back a bit, okay, about 9 months. Back into Luke 1. And I want us to look at these verses prophetically this morning and think of them. Thanks, Shay. I don't know what they are. Bits and bobs, bits of paper. I want us to look at these verses prophetically this morning. Think of them in terms of our own lives. And although these words are connected to the most amazing event in history 2,000 years ago, I believe God wants to inspire us and give us a new hope today through these verses. And Luke 1 is a very, very prophetic chapter in the Bible, Luke 1 and 2. In fact, the amount of supernatural activity that goes on in 1 and 2 is absolutely astounding. God sends Gabriel to release some very powerful, life-giving words that open the way for heaven's purposes to be released into the earth realm. And the first Christmas was a fulfillment of many prophecies throughout the Old Testament. And as we look at these verses, God wants to remind us of those prophetic words that have been spoken over us today. And some of us have had many words through the years, okay? And if we're honest, we haven't yet seen all of the things that God promised we would see. And sometimes we stop hoping and we stop believing and sometimes we stop dreaming. And I believe that this is a Christmas of a kind where God wants to stir us up again, okay, and revive those prophetic words that have been spoken so that we can start dreaming again and stop listening to the devil who says, has God said? Yeah. It doesn't matter how long ago those promises were spoken. They might have been spoken to you 20 years ago, or they may have been spoken to you last week, yesterday, this morning. There's still words. It doesn't matter how long ago those words were spoken. They are still words that have come from the very heart of God, okay? And they still have the same potency that they had the first time you heard them. Just because you may, you know, have kind of looked back on those prophecies many times, they don't lose their power, you know? The same power that they had when they were spoken over you still applies today, even though they may not yet, it's always a yet, may not yet have manifested. And let's take a look at both Elizabeth and Mary and what happens when God prophesies over these two amazing women. Luke begins with Elizabeth and Zechariah, and he tells us how they both loved the Lord and how they walked in righteousness, but they didn't have a child, and both were far advanced in years. And while Zechariah was in the sanctuary on duty serving as a priest before God, an angel appeared and told him that Elizabeth would bear him a son and call him John. Zechariah reveals the doubt that's in his heart because of their age, and he's silenced by the angel until the birth of the baby. And Elizabeth, she becomes pregnant after that word is spoken. And we're going to pick up the story from verse 26 with Mary's encounter with the angel. Okay, where are we? Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." And then God said, "Behold, the maidservant..." Oh, sorry, yeah. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Both Elizabeth and Mary's situation seem far removed from the words that God speaks through Gabriel. It just doesn't match up, does it? Either one of them. You know, we've got Mary, way past, you know, natural childbearing years. And Elizabeth's situation, Mary's situation is just, you know, just does not match up at all. But in spite of these circumstances, which seem so contrary to the word, God's kingdom, yeah, it's about to break out in an amazing way through these women. You know, the current circumstances aren't an issue for God. God's getting ready to do something above and beyond. He's not only going to bless Zechariah and Elizabeth with their longing for a child, but he's also about to bless a people who were longing for a saviour. You know, that's what God does, isn't it? You know, he goes above and beyond. You know, you've got the promise and then you've got the greater promise, and both are a fulfillment of a long-awaited promise. I'm sure Zechariah and Elizabeth prayed and prayed and prayed, because I think the word says that they petitioned the Lord, and that usually means that you're there and you're knocking on that door and you're asking and you're seeking and you're knocking. In fact, Zechariah's response to the angel's words shows us that he didn't have much hope of seeing this happen, because in verse 18 he says, "By what shall I know and be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well advanced in years." Zechariah sees himself and his wife after the flesh. He states what he knows, what he sees in the natural. He speaks out and affirms the current condition that they're in. And it's so easy to do this, isn't it, guys? I know I do it. You know, we all do it sometimes. We see where we're at. We see the way things are and the impossibility of our situation. And there's those words that God's spoken, but we can't quite work it out, you know? And, he didn't believe the prophetic words that were spoken. And he wasn't speaking words of faith. It says so in verse 20. And because of that, he was silenced. Not because God is punishing Zechariah, but because unbelief, it leaks out and it hinders God's word from taking root in our lives. And it's by faith, I think it says in Hebrews, it's by faith that we inherit the promises. And sometimes it leaks out in words and we use, and that's because out of the overflow of the heart, our mouth speaks, you know, it can't help but come out of us. And I also think there's another way of looking at Zechariah's silence. I think he must have been gobsmacked, you know. It must be amazing to see an angel, you know. Must be absolutely, you know, and the news as well was just, you know, must have stunned him into silence. So there's two ways that we can see that. And let's look at Mary and her encounter. And Mary's circumstances, as we've already said, they look really dire, don't they? And when you try and match them up with God's plan, it just doesn't fit. She's the opposite of Elizabeth in that she is young, she's also unmarried, and she's a virgin. It's not surprising that she expresses her doubt at the prophetic word and says, "How can this be?" And just like Zechariah, she goes on to speak out the reality of her current situation. She says, "I have no husband." And she also sees herself and her circumstances, again, like Zechariah, in the natural, you know, eyes of flesh. But I love what God does next. Through the angel, he boosts her faith. And God does. He does love to boost our faith. He knows when we're not quite in that place. So through the angel, he boosts her faith and he tells her about Elizabeth and how she, who was barren, has conceived in old age. And I believe that God is saying that to us today. 2,000 years ago, he said this to a young girl in Nazareth, and 2,000 years later, he's still saying it to us. He's saying, "Take heart, she who was barren has conceived in old age." Elizabeth today is still an encouragement to us to look beyond our current circumstances. He's still saying to us in the same way, he said to Mary, "If I can do this for Elizabeth, I can do this for you." That's pretty much what he was saying to Mary. And most of us have received a prophetic word, if not many prophetic words. If you haven't ever received a prophetic word, just ask one of us today to pray with you. And God speaks. He loves to speak to his people. Most of us have words that have been spoken down the years that haven't yet been realized. And some of us are pregnant with the promise, but we haven't yet given birth to it. And some of these words that are still to be realized have given us enormous hope and encouragement in the midst of difficult circumstances. Some of these words have given us excitement, they've given us desire and inspiration, and they've spurred us on. And some of these words haven't been necessarily predictive or directive in nature, but they may have spoken of our identity and our inheritance as a child of God. And some of us have been waiting a long time to see these truths manifest in our daily lives. And just like Elizabeth, the years have rolled on and we haven't seen some of these promises fulfilled. And as time marches on, some of us can lose hope and we don't dare to keep on dreaming. And we just keep thinking and saying, like Zechariah, "How can this be? I'm an old man and my wife is well advanced in years." Or we look at our circumstances and somehow they just don't match up with the word that God has spoken. So like Mary, we say, "How can this be? I have no husband." But God would say to us today, "Listen, she who was barren has conceived in old age. For with God, nothing is ever impossible. And no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." I just want to say Christmas can be a very busy time for some of us, and it can also be a time of reflection. Whatever the situation, I believe God wants to encourage us this Christmas to take time out. Dig out those prophetic words that God's spoken over you through the years and begin to breathe life back in. This is the message that I really felt God impress on me over these last few weeks. You know, dig out those prophetic words. Dig them out, all of them. Don't let one of them slip you by, you know. Every one of them. The words that he's spoken through other people doesn't necessarily, you know, but also the words that he's spoken to you in your own personal prayer time. They're prophetic words. You know, God will speak to you in many different ways. It doesn't always have to come through a person. So, you know, even if you haven't written those words down, ask him to bring them to your remembrance. You know, the things, the essence of those words, because they've come straight from the heart of God. And breathe life back into those barren places, you know, just like when God spoke to Elizabeth, you know, there'd been dryness, there'd been barrenness, and he spoke to her through the angel and Zechariah, and, you know, the whole situation just changed, you know, from a trickle to a stream to a river. And that's what happens when God speaks, there's life. And just over these past couple of weeks, words and promises have been released over us, haven't they? I think we had a fire tunnel a few weeks ago, and I know that there were prophetic words that were flowing during that time. And last week when Colin came, he released the prophetic word over us. So I know that that's been happening for us, and some of us may have been prophesied over that hadn't been prophesied over before. And I just want to encourage you with a short testimony, because God always gets me to practice what I preach. And I'd been thinking about this, and he'd put this on my heart. And a couple of weeks ago, Malcolm and I, we dug out some prophecies that were spoken, some of them a good few years back, you know, and they haven't yet manifested. But we pulled them out, and we started to look at them, and we started to pray. And it was the most amazing hour that we've had, because we could see this connection. We'd never seen it before, you know, because we'd had a prophecy here and a prophecy there. And, you know, they kind of get a bit scattered about, don't they? And suddenly there was all these connections. And what it does to your faith is amazing, because you see that there is a thread. They're not random. There is a thread. There is a pattern. There's something emerging that God is doing, you know, and going to do. And I just really want to encourage you to do that over Christmas. Just take some time out, spend some time with God, and just let him begin to stir you up. Because it's good to be intentional when we receive a word from the Lord, you know. After God encouraged Mary with the news about Elizabeth, she said, "Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to what you have said." She then arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town of Judah, and went to the house of Zechariah, and she greeted Elizabeth. And that's what you call intentional, isn't it? She stopped seeing things with the eyes of flesh, and she responded in faith to the word spoken. And well, the West is history, isn't it? If we steward the word that God gives us, you know, it doesn't matter if it was 20 years ago. You know, we can still pick up those words and start to pray and breathe life. If we steward those words well, God adds to those words, because our faith increases and he speaks more into that. So I just ask if we can stand, because it'd be a good time just to pray and just say, "Thank you, Father. We just want to thank you, Lord, that you are a God that loves to speak to us, Father." And I just pray, Lord, over this Christmas time, Father, you know, you just give us that time. Just help us to find that time and that space to start dreaming again, to start hoping again, to start believing again, and to really experience your love in the midst of that, Father. Because we know, Lord, that you're a God that loves us, but you're also a God of purposes and plans and dreams and adventures and destiny, Father. And you've put that in the heart of every one of us, Father. So, Lord, I pray you just stir us up, bring to remembrance, Father. Help us to be intentional. Help us, Lord, to do whatever it is we might need to do, Father. Some of us, Lord, we just need to pray, but some of us, we need to do stuff. We need to open up our hearts, Father. Some of us need to align ourselves with that word so that we can allow you to transform us and change us, Father. So, Lord, we just pray. We just pray that you'll come and you'll just touch each and every one of us. And, Lord, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And I just know that there's going to be testimonies. I just prophesy that now, that there's going to be testimonies. And the one, Lord, who was told, you know, you're too old, you can't do this, Lord, will say, I have conceived in old age. I have conceived and I am no longer barren because of your word, Lord, because of your truth, Father, because of your light. So, Lord, I just thank you and I praise you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kerry, for that wonderful word that stirs up hope within us for the dreams to be resurrected, the dreams and the prophecies perhaps been buried, but now time to resurrect them and breathe life into them. So thank you, Kerry. That was great.